Amazon Business honors Jill Lau, Chief Procurement Officer of Global Network Bank. Last week, Jill saved big and used Amazon Business to help her team buy 327 headsets. Now Bob can keep his conversations to himself.
Wait, am I still on speakerphone?
With business buying easier than before, Jill now uses her extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Thank you for holding.
Hang it up, Bob.
Attention professional truck drivers. Ruan is hiring home daily drivers in Jeffersonville. These positions support a dedicated customer, all while allowing you to have a flexible work schedule. These positions offer outstanding pay at $26 an hour with overtime after 40 hours while providing a 44-hour work week minimum and daily home time with weekends off, giving you the work-life balance you deserve. Now is the time to switch to Ruan. We're a family-owned company that offers a benefits package that's hard to beat. Apply today by calling 800-TRY-RUAN. That's 800-TRY-RUAN. Or go to ruan.com/Jeffersonville.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
You know, I was thinking about today, I was thinking about how the majority of politicians that I have supported, how the vast majority of them have turned out to be complete bozos. I mean, really, I have this picture, and I think I've made reference to this, I know, on the radio show several times. It's a picture from, I think, McNaughton. He's one of these great artists out there, patriotic artists. And it's all the Republican presidents sitting around playing poker. And I remember a day when I would say, yeah, you know, the Republican Party. You need to vote for the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is where it's at, man. That's what's going to keep our rights and keep our liberties and keep fiscal responsibility. Boy, was I so wrong. I mean, playing for a team instead of values is just wrong. And it took me a while to learn that lesson. And I think I can count on one hand the number of politicians who've never disappointed me. The rest of them have been colossal failures. And it's not, I'm not just talking about you have to agree 100% with me. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the devotion and dedication to the well-being of we the people and the dedication and devotion to that Constitution of the United States. And I've got to be honest, as much as I love and adore her, Carrie Lake, I am leery about loving and adoring her as much as I do. Because I'm afraid, and tell me if this is you, I'm afraid that one day she's going to disappoint me. And I don't want her to be disappointed because she's a rock star. She's fantastic. She is great. Folks, I want you to listen to how she talks to the biased press. Now, as you all know, the biased press has been out there adopting the Democrat mantra that if you're an election denier, you're a fascist. Remember? So right on cue, after CNN tried to tell Carrie Lake she has no justification for saying the 2020 election had tons of fraud, was rigged in many places, and many of us know it was. If you've seen 2000 Mules, you know exactly what happened. Carrie Lake knew she was going to field these questions from a biased press that has no independent initiative. They're mindless automatons. So they watch CNN and they go, okay, here we are. We're the Arizona press. And listen to this dumbass. Ask her the question. This is Carrie Lake.
The question is, you over the weekend, everybody, you took the Google all over the world. Your name was ringing everywhere. And one of them, yes, ma'am, because I have the scale. And one of them has, most of them were asking, is she an election denier, Carrie Lake? And that was like going around on all different cable news. What do you elaborate on this?
Yeah. First off, what a dumbass. Seriously.
What do you elaborate on this? It's all over the world on Google, and you splain.
I mean, really, what an inarticulate boob. Carrie Lake was ready.
I'm actually shocked you asked that question, George.
Well,
actually, Anthony, where's Anthony?
Once in a while.
Here, Anthony. You know, I did a little, actually, Anthony, how old are you?
20.
Are you a journalist?
No.
Well, you did better research than half these people.
That's how you talk to the biased press. The sicko, lazy, biased press who takes Democrat talking points and calls it news. The vast majority of them do this, and the vast majority of them deserve the treatment that Carrie Lake just gave them. 20-year-old non-journalist did better research than the vast majority of the biased press. Listen.
Let's talk about election deniers. Here's 150 examples of Democrats denying election results. Oh, wow, look at this. This is from Joe Biden's press secretary. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. Democrats saying that. Is that an election denier?
Ooh.
Oh, look at this. Just heard Republican Ryan Costello said it would be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win because she lost her state bid, but yet she's still claiming she never lost. This is outright. Hillary Clinton, Trump is an illegitimate president. Is she an election denier?
Ooh.
This one says, was the 2016 election legitimate? It now definitely is a question worth asking. That's the Los Angeles Times. So it's okay for Democrats to question elections, but it's not okay for Republicans. It's a crock of BS. Every one of you knows it. We have our freedom of speech, and we're not going to relinquish it to a bunch of fake news propagandists.
Damn straight. And that's what they are, fake news propagandists. Chris Salcedo's show on Newsmax put together a little montage. Here's a Democrat Jamie Raskin. That's the first voice you're going to hear. He's going to say that if you're an election denier like Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams, you're a fascist. And then the Chris Salcedo show, with the help of President Donald J. Trump, who has 10 minutes of Democrats' election denials, we're going to condense that down to about a minute. The first voice is Jamie Raskin.
He lost the election. Two of the hallmarks of a fascist political party are, one, they don't accept the results of elections that don't go their way.
And you can have the election stolen from you.
10 minutes of Democrats denying election results.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
There absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election. And in that sense, it's illegitimate.
They won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
And Al Gore won that election. I think he won it anyway.
Actually, I think I carried for him.
Bush versus Gore. A court took away a presidency.
If all the votes were counted in Florida, that Al Gore would be president today and George Bush would be back in office.
I come from Florida, where you and others participated in what I call the United States coup d'etat.
An objection, because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified.
And that last voice was Jamie Raskin, Democrat socialist, who is an election denier, officially, and by his own definition, a fascist. This is how you talk to the press. So, folks, we've got a lot of issues. It's not just the candidates that we have to be paying attention to, although Carrie Lake is fantastic, and I believe Arizona will be in good hands when she wins. But there are issues out there that directly impact you. Do you know how much money the state of Texas is asking its voters to give out for the failed GovEd education system? They're going to ask you politely to vote for it, hoping there are enough of you that are stupid enough to say, yeah, well, it's just a bond. It's just a bond, which translates into a tax increase on you. But they don't call it tax increase. They call it a bond. Will you be stupid enough to vote for these things? Details coming up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, folks, I want to bring in our guest, Erin Anderson. She's a senior journalist for Texas Scorecard, reporting on state and local issues, events, and government actions that impact the people in our communities throughout the entire state of Texas and in the DFW Metroplex in particular. Erin Anderson, welcome back to the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. It's always great to talk with you.
Now, you always have your nose into several stories as it pertains to GovEd. And you know what? Let's start off with something you haven't written about yet that you just got information on. Tell the folks what the information was and why it's important to them. Because even to me, some of this, these issues that come up with bonds and all this kind of stuff, it just goes right over my head.
Well, Chris, the state of Texas just released their complete listing of all the school districts that are putting bond propositions on the November ballot. Now, a lot of people think local elections happen in May and November is for the state and federal stuff, but there are local elections on the November ballot, so voters have to scroll on down and see. And one of the things they're going to see in almost 60 different school districts across the state is asks for big bond debt to finance everything from new school buildings to big stadiums to even one district is asking for bond money to build low-income housing for teachers. That's in Pflugerville ISD. That's the first time we've seen that on a ballot for voters to approve. But up and down the ballot in the state, there are bonds of all different sizes where schools want to put taxpayer-funded debt to be used for all kinds of things. One of the ones I wrote about recently was in Plano ISD, a district that's had declining enrollment over the past several years and will into the foreseeable future. They've got $1.5 billion with a B dollars in bond debt on the November ballot, in addition to a tax rate increase. So that's another thing that voters are going to have to look out for on their November ballots is school districts and cities as well asking for tax increases and these big bonds. But the school bonds are really egregious. Obviously, people know that the largest portion of their property taxes goes to school districts. They use it for two different things. One, for operating expenses, which is mainly salaries for teachers and other staff, things like that. And then the other part of that tax goes to pay off this bond debt, principal plus interest. So all these bond listings that people will see on their ballots. So when they see, for example, $1.5 billion in bonds on their Plano ISD ballot, that doesn't even include the amount of interest that will also have to be repaid on that on those bonds by the local property taxpayers, for the decades to come.
I tell you what, I've said this on the radio, and I'm going to say it on the Salcedo Storm podcast. I say it on TV. The answer is no. To every bond issue, to every school district, the answer is no. And the reason I say this is you're not taking care of business as it pertains to educating children. I saw a stat the other day that said that only 30% decline in scores? I can't remember which. On the ACT scores, and they, of course, they're blaming the pandemic. But look, the school districts are not doing their job. They're ignoring the parents. They're not educating children. So in my mind, you know, a new football stadium or building homes for teachers, you were never set up to do all this stuff as GovEd. You were there to educate children. So why keep coming to the taxpayers? I don't know, to fund stuff that you've never been allocated or told you should be doing, and then you're failing at your core mission to boot. Why do you get more money when you're failing? I guess that's the bottom line.
And that is the bottom line, Chris, and that's what a lot of parents and voters are asking. So there's multiple considerations here. Just on the financial side alone, talk about not taking care of business. A lot of these districts already have huge amounts of debt on their books that the taxpayers are going to have to repay. And the things that they are buying, as you said, you know, is this necessary for, you know, the core purpose of educating kids? And also, are they getting a good deal? Are they getting good value for the taxpayers' money? That doesn't seem to be the case either, because these bonds, people may not know, they're marketed to the voters just like any other product. So, and with taxpayer dollars, by the way. So your tax funds are paying your school district to hire a marketing firm, which guess who the marketers are, Chris? You might not be surprised to learn that it's often the same companies that benefit from these bonds.
Huh.
You know, architectural firms, construction companies, they have marketing departments specifically to help districts pass their bond propositions to sell this to the voters, because once they're passed, who benefits from that largesse? It's these contractors, right? So they actually have whole departments dedicated to helping districts promote and sell their bonds to voters. Again, yep. At taxpayer expense. The little vote no campaigns that pop up, and it is okay to vote no, as you pointed out, these are done by grassroots on a shoestring, trying to get their message out. And of course, that's what Scorecard tries to do when we write about this. We don't tell people to vote yes or no. It's for them to decide if this is a good value for their tax dollars. But we're trying to provide information that perhaps isn't in the slick marketing brochure from the school district. So people can make an informed decision. And that doesn't even get to what you said about the quality of the education,
right,
that the kids are getting inside these very expensive buildings.
Yeah, and
so there's a lot of considerations.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that we can all thank Chris Patti and these left-wing Republicans. And by the way, Chris Patti's on his way out of the door in the Texas legislature. But he left behind a great legacy, keeping that taxpayer-funded lobbying going. Something I think it was 97% of Republican voters said they wanted it gone. And I think there was a majority, too, of Democrat voters said, we want taxpayer-funded lobbying has to go. But these elitists kept it. And of course, we're getting hosed. The taxpayers every step of the way. Let's talk about some other issues out there, because you're also following, Aaron, lots of school board races, and the Republican Party of Texas is probably more hands-on since the China virus than I've in school board races than I've ever seen.
Yeah, so I think that's a combination of things. Some changes within the party itself, and then changes within education. The Republican Party of Texas is doing a little catch-up work. Actually, the Democrat Party has been promoting, actively working, and even endorsing in local races since around, I think it was 2015, maybe they started their Project Lift, their organized push to work in these nominally nonpartisan races in a partisan way. And so Republicans have been catching up, and especially after what happened in May, which is where the majority of your local elections like school board are held, there was a big push to get out the vote for a number of conservative candidates. Now, of course, that's the first thing. You have to actually have conservative candidates willing to run, right? Quality candidates. And that was, of course, prompted a lot by the COVID closures, and what parents saw happening in the schools prompted them to get involved, because they also did not like the way their current school board officials were responding to their questions and their concerns. And so they decided to run themselves. And then there was a movement from a number of, you know, quarters to actively back and support these candidates. And lo and behold, there's a big sweep. I think maybe there's at least a dozen of these candidates in various school districts across the state got elected. Well, now you have a smaller number of districts that hold November school board elections, but you also have these slates of conservative candidates running to try to oust these incumbents, these establishment types who think who think mask mandates are a good idea, who don't have any problem with sexually explicit books in the library, and who, oh yeah, they're the ones that voted to put you know, billion-dollar bonds on the ballot during a recession. So we're hoping to see, you know, how this plays out if this momentum from May continues into November, with not only some outside groups, but again, the Republican Party of Texas getting fully on board with supporting these candidates. And I'll tell you where it started, though. It also started at the local level. The group in Wiley, there's a slate of four candidates in Wiley, and they're one that are endorsed by the state party, but they started by earning the endorsement of the Collin County Republican Party, who was very proactive in trying to, you know, find as many good candidates as they could and actively support them. And then they recommended to the state level, hey, we looked at these guys, and we think that you should take a look at them too. And the state has, I believe they have now a formal committee to review, you know, to vet these candidates prior to endorsement. And so that happened at the last state executive committee meeting. They endorsed 11 candidates total in three different school districts who came up through these local party endorsements. Mm-hmm. So it's a really because people see that this is so key to changing what's going on in these districts. Because parents can go to meeting after meeting, but they're on the wrong side of the microphone, right? They're asking that these board members to make decisions. You know, let's cut out the middleman. Let's get the parents on the school board and be the ones making these decisions.
Well,
and that's what we're seeing happening, and we may see more of it in November.
Well, GovEd has gotten worse since the school year's begun. Parents are still seeing the same things. As a matter of fact, the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism agenda, critical race theory, it's all in there. And now you've got a courtesy of Libs of TikTok. You've got teachers coming out saying, well, I want to talk about my sex life with the kids. It's like, your sex life? What are you talking about? And some of the most deviant people in our society are being hired as, quote, educators. Project Veritas doing a lot of great work, outing one of these educators who boasts about his TikTok following and basically told parents to blank off. And if you don't accept your kids the way they are, I'm your kid's new parent. It's like, this is what a teacher is saying. So this is scary stuff. And GovEd being funded by the taxpayers to drive that wedge in between parents and kids is unacceptable. Folks are having a conversation with Aaron Anderson, senior journalist for Texas Scorecard, reporting on state and local issues, events, and government actions impacting our communities all over Texas, but also in particular in North Texas. And that brings me, speaking of this deviant agenda, North Texas School District promotes LGBT group offering queer sex ed lessons. Now, this is a scorecard offering. Katie Drollinger, I believe I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She's the one who wrote this. But since you're part of the North Texas orbit, tell us what this story is all about.
Well, you know, Chris, you always hate when you're scrolling through Libs of TikTok and you see a Texas school in the mix there, because we're horrified to see what's going on around the country, but it's sort of the laugh or cry situation. You see some of these people, they're so extreme, and you're like, oh, of course, you know, in California or in New York or wherever. And then you see, oh, wait, this is Texas, and supposedly a more, not just Austin, right? So just to see this was in Lewisville was pretty shocking. Although, of course, that's kind of the same area they recently had one of the drag brunches.
Yep.
So it's not just in the city of Dallas, it's out in the burbs too. So this school district was having, as an online quote resources for this, really it's kind of sex ed. And I don't know if all the listeners know that in Texas, you know, parents are supposed to have a say-so over what, if any, sex ed curriculum their kids are exposed to. So what they've done is they've just taken it out of the regular curriculum, right? It's not in your textbook that you have a test over. It's a kind of over on the side. It's just, this is just a little extra resource, kind of like the library books. And so you could get online and, you know, within two clicks, you're basically at some pretty hardcore stuff, you know, describing and talking about, explaining a wide variety of sexual activities that were far beyond what would just be considered, sex education, but in any case, inappropriate for minors, and beyond what school districts are allowed to give students access to without parents, prior approval. So it's just everywhere, but it sneaks in because it's not, parents are diligently looking through their kids' textbooks and the online curriculum, but this is off on the side somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to keep a handle on what the schools are exposing the kids to in various formats.
Now, this leads to we've been dancing around this issue, because I think as we look past the election, and though school boards are going to be a prominent feature in this current election, Aaron, as we look past, we're looking to session, which begins in January, the next legislative session. Give me your sense as you talk to elected leaders all over the state, in particular, these leaders, these Republicans, so-called leaders, Republicans, in these small districts who have been the problem in Texas. I believe there are 22 states in this nation that are not knuckle-draggers. They believe in school choice. Texas, sadly, is among the knuckle-dragging states as Neanderthals who are denying parental school choice. Do you think there is enough political pressure, enough wherewithal, enough oomph, shall I say, to get this over the finish line and to bring parental school choice so that Texas, too, can join the civilized world?
Well, that's a great question, Chris, and it's hard to answer because there's more than just two sides to it. There's more than just a pro and a con. There are a variety of people that are arrayed against school choice, but for very different reasons. So you have people on the left and people that are, the educrats who are invested in the current system, like the aforementioned contractors, for example, who make tons of money building giant school buildings for the public school system. So you have people that are invested in the current system, and they're extremely resistant to anything that, encourages people to leave that system.
Can I stop you there really quick? Because they're invested in failure of our children is what they're invested in. They're invested in a system that pads their pockets, that maybe gives them some esteem, but the current system is failing our children. So I want to bypass individuals personally. I want to bypass individuals who are invested in a failed system because I'm invested in children's success.
Right. And that's, of course, that's the key point. It's like the current, what is it about the current system you're so enamored of? Because most people can see it's not working as it's supposed to. And of course, what their answer, you just don't give us enough money. If we just would give us more money, we could do a better job. Ha. Well, but that's their talking point. I 100% concur that, defending a system that's failing the kids is a poor defense. But there's people on the conservative side that also do not want school choice in the form of the funding following the child, like the Arizona system, for example. So I wrote about that when that passed to sort of see what does this system look like, compared to what we have, and what are the pros and cons of it? They're fearful. I mean, it's right to be fearful because government's involved. They feel that that's just adding a layer of government now onto the people that are currently not within the public system. That would be the homeschoolers who granted, they had a very tough fight to get the independence that they have right now. And then, people in the private school world, like the religious schools, they're like, we don't want anything that allows, if you're going to allow one quote government dollar to come over here, now we're going to get some government rules with it. I disagree that that has to happen.
Me too.
I don't think that's the way the Arizona system is set up. And perhaps by January, we're going to have 6 months of what's been going on in Arizona, you know, to look at. And they've been doing it on a smaller scale for quite some time, but this is their first full scale, 100% participation. Anybody who wants to participate can do it. And they've had a huge response, by the way, of parents wanting to, take their education dollars elsewhere. Let me
stop you there. They've had a huge response. And you see, this is what the other side is terrified of. They don't want school choice. These recalcitrant Republicans who think that, oh, my school is an adult jobs program. My school is the center of sports in my small town. My school is the center of economic activity. And somewhere down, you know, 50 or 60th on the list is, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, it's a school. It's supposed to be teaching the kids. So the parents, the client, if you will, and those that, and they're in charge of looking out for the kids, they're the ones who say, if given the chance, your schools suck, Gov Ed, and I would take my children out of your sucky schools as soon as I was given the opportunity. And this is what they're terrified of. This is what they're afraid of, because they know when the parents get the choice, there is nothing that is being offered that is positive in the majority of Gov Ed. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, the flip side of that is that there are a certain number of parents who will want to continue in the public system,
which is
right?
Fine.
But they don't have that choice. And here's the other hope for this kind of a system is that in order to now compete and have to work harder to retain students, that the public system will try to shape up in some form or fashion, because the reason that a lot of people will leave is just what you said. They're not happy with the product they're getting in their monopoly school system. So how do you prevent that loss of, oh, by the way, funding? Because we do, the funding does follow the child here in the public system. So they will have to do something to entice the parents and students back.
If I can make a suggestion, how's about getting rid of your critical race theory teaching of racism? How's about getting rid of your smut inside of your libraries? How's about getting rid of your LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG cultural Marxism indoctrination? How's about getting rid of this idea of trying to convince little girls that they're boys and little boys that they're girls, and then trying to hide their pronouns from their parents and hide their name change from their parents? Why don't you abandon all of that, and then maybe parents will start trusting you again? Fair?
Seems like some pretty easy to spot suggestions right off the top there. It's not a big head scratcher how they could improve their product by focusing on the primary purpose of said product, as you said, which is educating children. But this really the problem is what you hit the nail on the head with the fact that it's the schools districts have become much more within these communities. They are jobs programs. They are money makers. I mean, they're usually the largest employer in these areas. So they control it. They've become institutions separate from just the education that they provide, which is terrible. So that's going to make it the hardest to walk away, is to walk away from the billions of dollars of structures that they've built. And the, you know, the thousands of people that they employ and so forth. But that's part of the reason school's so, you know, quote, expensive, and they try to say it's underfunded. It's like, 'cause you're trying to do too much.
That's
you
right.
You cut the things you're not supposed to be doing, you'll have a lot more money.
It's like government. It's like government.
Educating the children.
Yeah. It's like government writ large, right? If the government were focused on what it was constitutionally dedicated to doing and not doing all the other stuff it's not supposed to be doing, then you're going to have a whole bunch of money that you all of a sudden when you're staying within your lane, you're going to have all the money you need. And by the way, I just got to remind folks out there, the American school system has the most money spent per capita in the world, and it gets us the bottom lower rung of academic achievement. I think there's some overhead somewhere that we could pay attention to. Aaron Anderson, senior journalist for Texas Scorecard, reporting on state and local issues, events, and government actions that impact the people in our communities throughout Texas, in particular in the DFW Metroplex. Aaron, if folks want to follow you on the Texas Scorecard, can they drop you an email? Is everything, all the information there, texasscorecard.com?
Yes, they can always reach out to me directly at eanderson@texasscorecard.com. We're publishing daily online at texasscorecard.com. I suggest everybody subscribe to the Texas Minute. It's free. It's quick. It gives you each weekday morning a little look at the top stories, plus some other interesting information that people really like to get that quick look at the day's worth of news. And you can see that subscribe button again at texasscorecard.com. We'll be ramping up with coverage on this November election. Again, a reminder, local elections are on a lot of people's ballots. So check it out before you go to see who and what is on your ballot, just besides those top line races, because they're all important. And again, just keep following us. We'll keep you up to date, and always happy to talk to people and answer their questions.
Right on, folks. Those hot tips you have inside of GovEd with your kids, make sure you reach out to Aaron Anderson, and she'll vet it and she'll get it out there when she can confirm all the details. Aaron Anderson, have a great day. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Chris. Always great to talk with you.
And that there, my friends, is going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, visit two websites, if you will. First off, the aforementioned TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. That is where you can find all the news that is impactful in Texas. And if it impacts Texas, it's going to impact the United States, guarantee. And you can also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. ChrisSalcedo.com is where you can find the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. You can also track down the Salcedo Show on Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday, and always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this: a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we the people. See ya.
Just because our parents are getting older doesn't mean they don't have lots to do. They might just need a little help. At Care.com, you'll find people who can take them to appointments and events, help pick up groceries and cook great meals. Whatever it is they like to do, the right caregiver can help. And since everyone at Care.com is background checked, you can be confident that you're getting support from someone you can trust. Find qualified, local senior caregivers for your parents at Care.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Go to nomoredraftywindows.com for full offer details.
Homeowners, do you know when it's time to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? It's time to replace. Can't see through fog between the glass? Time to replace. Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's definitely time to replace. If you've been putting off replacing windows in your home because it's too expensive, here's great news. You can now get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson, the company with the most 5-star reviews among leading full-service window replacement companies. And this month only, you can buy one and get one 50% off. Just text STILL to 200-300 right now for your free consultation on top-quality affordable windows or even patio doors for $0 down, zero payments, and zero interest for an entire year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Plus, buy one and get one 50% off. But hurry, this offer won't last long. Text STILL to 200-300 right now. Don't go into winter with drafty windows. Text the word STILL to 200-300. Don't wait. Text STILL to 200-300. 100-300.